IVM.
Hello and welcome to the Wire Talks. I'm Siddharth Bhatia. The Mumbai film industry, or which is often called Bollywood, is undergoing an upheaval. Big budget films expected to be blockbusters are flopping at the box office, causing huge losses. The top stars don't pull in the audience. Going to the cinema is an expensive affair, so viewers will go only when they feel the experience is worth it. Yet, films made in South India are full of spectacle and fire and brimstone, such as RRR, are massive box office successes. Add to that competition from streaming platforms and OTT platforms, which offer a wide variety of films, not only from India, but also from abroad, and that too in the comfort of the viewer's home. Has the industry lost its plot? Has it failed to understand the changing profile and tastes of audiences? Is the mathematics of the big budget film the economics? Nikhil Advani, our guest today, is somebody who understands how Bollywood works. He began as an assistant director to filmmakers like Saeed Mirza and Sudhir Mishra, and then moved on to Dharma Productions, where he made his debut with the blockbuster hit Kal Ho Na Ho. He has since branched out on his own, making films as varied as From Chandni Chowk to China, Airlift, and also smaller budget films such as Butler House. Advani has also made films for OTT platforms, so he is very familiar with both the big and small screens. More importantly, he is extremely familiar with the economics of making film. Currently, he is working on a film, Mrs. Chatterjee versus Norway, and developing the book Freedom at Midnight for a series. Nikhil Advani, welcome to the Wire Talks.
Thank you so much, Siddharth.
Okay, coming straight to the point, is the Hindi film industry in a crisis?
Indian film industry is always in a crisis, Siddharth. It's not as if I think we revel in the crisis. It's a most disorganized sector. It's an extremely disorganized sector. I think that over the last 10, 15 years, a group of producers have tried to organize it. The advent of so-called the big studios that have come to start working in India has forced us to has forced our hand to organize the sector as much as we can. But it's always been in a crisis. So I don't know whether we've lost the plot. I don't know whether the plot was ever for us to lose. Yeah.
But what I mean by that is that when you see such massive films with big stars, guaranteed big box office returns more or less, and huge production values, a lot of money gets spent, and they are flopping. Surely that implies that the current Bollywood formulas are simply not working.
Yeah, so I think that two, three corrections from the introduction that you gave with regards to, so whether it is the South films also, in the sense that the four films that have worked very well this year, KGF, Pushpa, Vikram and RRR, these are the four films that have worked. 95% of the films in the South are also not doing well. You know, it's just that we hear and there's a huge amount of hype about these four films that are so-called, I mean, quote-unquote pan-India films. You know, I think that the South, especially Tamil Telugu film industry, is doing its best to come out from the so-called, you know, step-brotherly treatment that the Hindi film industry used to give them, which is that regional, y'all are regional cinema, y'all are regional films. They're no longer regional films, very clearly. I mean the box office numbers show that. The collaboration that is happening vis-a-vis Hindi film actors and the South Indian actors is evident of that. So, yes, but also the other big aspect of why we are today having this conversation also is because just pre-pandemic, the 3 years before pre-pandemic, the Hindi film industry was going through its golden period. Everything that was releasing was actually working. You know, was people were thronging to the theaters, people were thronging to the cinemas. They were spending money. There was exuberance with regards to star power, star. So even mediocre films that time were heavily loaded by costs of production as well as star salaries, were doing well. right? And then came the pandemic, and then there was a huge correction. I think the OTT and the streaming platforms became the so-called panacea to the film industry. They were there to, you know, pick up the films that were being, that were actually going to be suffering because of no theater going public. So yeah, there are several factors, and yes, of course, a cost correction is required. So it, and the thing is that I think it is, like I said earlier, our hand has been forced. Cost correction is required irrespective of pandemic, lockdown, whether people are going or not. We need to cost correct. And I mean, the big thing that needs to be cost corrected is budgets and content.
Yeah, that's what I was coming to. Are these budgets, content, or something else? The audience is completely now a different audience, and it's saying, make it worth my while to go to the film.
All three. Budgets is something that, like I said, whether we had the pandemic, whether we had the lockdown, budgets is something that as producers, we have constantly been discussing amongst ourselves how to involve actors and technicians, whether they are writers, whether they are directors, in backend and in royalty, you know, and share the risk along with the producer. So that conversation has always been going on, and people like Shah Rukh Khan and Salman Khan and Aamir, sometimes Akshay, and all have always worked with production houses, with their favorite production houses, in terms of backend and to help the producer to minimize their risk. When it comes to audience taste, of course it has changed. I mean, the last 2 years has completely shown audiences that you don't have to go into the cinema halls. You don't have to spend the money that in cinema halls. You can actually sit in your house. You can watch on what is considered to be a decent home theater system, big television, you know, call for food from your favorite restaurant and enjoy the film 6 weeks after the film supposedly to be released, you know, is released in the theaters. So audience tastes have changed. Budgets need to be re-looked at. And very importantly, and the third most important thing, we have to start making better films. We have to start making better content. It's very, very important.
Can you explain the economics of a big film?
Well, the economics of a big film the economics of a big film is driven by two factors, right? Extremely by two factors, because one is production, and what is called BTL and ATL. Siddharth, BTL is below the line, ATL is above the line, right? Now, ordinarily speaking, BTL is what you need to make the film. That is basically shoot it in 50, 60, 70 days, et cetera, et cetera. And these many locations, these many, with this crew, these many days, these many nights, et cetera, et cetera. ATL is what is the cost of the primary cast, is the cost of the director. In the case of the Hindi film industry in Indian film industry, is the cost of the music director and the writers, producers margin is all comes into ATL, right? Now the ATL should really somewhere or the other be about 40% and the BTL should be 60%. But unfortunately, in the Indian film industry, it's reversed. The ATL is 60% and the BTL is 40%. And so honestly speaking, together the ATL and BTL forms what is called the COP, which is the cost of production, right? Now, how do you make sure that the cost of production that you are, the money that you're going to be spending, you're going to be receiving back? You pre-sell certain territories. We have five major territories that we work with. One is satellite, which is your broadcasters. One is digital, which is your streaming channels. The other is India theatrical box office. Then you are the overseas box office and music. These are your, and of course, the sixth is the various other ancillary rights that come form a box. As long as your digital, satellite and music, what is called SDM, satellite, digital and music, that amount equals to the COP, that is immediately what we call in Sindhi terms, table profit, right? You have a profit on the table as long as your satellite, digital and music recovery is equal to your cost of production. Because then what happens is overseas theatrical and NBOC, Indian theatrical becomes the icing on the cake.
And so what you're saying is that even if the film is not that much of a blockbuster, it's kind of made its basic.
Absolutely. And I think that the production houses that today are working towards long tail only work with this formula. For instance, we will not get into a film at MA Entertainment where we don't know that we are already working with a budget which is totally in control of, is totally in control with, of course, certain buffers for contingency and unforeseen expenses. But at the same, but we know very well that our return of investment is equal to our cost of production. We will not get into any kind of development, into any kind of production, unless we know that this mathematics is working out. And that allows you, Siddharth, to not be afraid. As a production company, where we are doing multiple projects right now at the same time, it allows me not to be afraid of the one thing that every single filmmaker is afraid of, the Friday. Right? It allows me not to be afraid of the Friday. It allows me to know very well whatever happens on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm back to work on Monday morning.
And on your next project.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that can be only true for certain big stars and certain big directors and big production.
And no, the same formula applies for middle of the road cinema, for medium budget films, for indie films. It is a mathematic formula. It should be what you should consider when you're raising capital to make this thing, right? If it's only for, that's what I'm saying, it's industry versus art. If it's only for art, I don't, you know, I'm talking to you right now as a producer. My directors don't think about these things. I empower them with that much freedom to not think about these things. These are things that I have to think about. And when I direct, actually it's a very big, very left brain, right brain kind of situation that I go through, because constantly I know what things are costing me. I know what I could possibly do by reducing the scale of a particular sequence, you know, but as a director, that's always fighting. No, I need it. I want it. You know, so that's quite this thing that I go through when I direct for myself. Yeah.
So picking up from what you just said, that Brahmastra's success has energized and brought smiles back to the film industry. And that means certain films with good storylines, good storytelling, and bankable stars will always work.
And beautiful audience connection.
Yeah, beautiful audience connection.
I loved it. I loved the way that boy had connected to the audience that he was making this film.
So good to see that we'll see more Brahmastras coming, I presume, because everyone follows the herd. How do you mean by better films?
I think by means of better films, there are two things. I think what has clearly happened post-pandemic and lockdown, Siddharth, is that the lines, blurred lines of mass spectacle commercial cinema and more content-driven cinema has now become very, very, how do I put it, has become extremely well-defined, right? So when you go now, when you are going to a multiplex in an A+ city, or even in the B towns, or in things, when you're going, it's an expensive proposition. So you want to be taken on a ride, right? It's no longer just about what the story is. It's about a visual spectacle. It's about an audio spectacle. It's about sitting over there and having a theater going experience. So that clearly has become the requirement for audiences to enter a cinema hall, versus which is more content driven stuff, films, which is where the more edgy, the more indie cinema kind of directors, people like Hansal Mehta, Tighmanshu Dhulia, Imtiaz Ali, even Sudhir Mishra for himself, even parts of what we are doing, Excel, all production companies, Abundantia, which is Vikram Malhotra, which they made Sherni and they made Jalsa. These are, so there are a lot of young directors and the so-called off the beaten track directors who are making stuff for direct to digital, or being commissioned to digital, or for a limited release in cinema halls and then going straight into digital. So you now have the Anurag Kashyaps of the world. You have people who are waiting for them, and they know that it's going to come to a streaming platform. So they'll wait and they'll watch it. Either it'll come directly to a streaming platform, or it'll come after maybe 4 weeks, 6 weeks to a streaming platform. So you wait for it, right? So very clearly, the type of cinema-going experience has now become well-defined by post-pandemic.
So the indie edgy film won't go into the cinemas?
I don't know whether, I mean, I think that what we 2 and 3 years ago were celebrating, celebrating having a forum for us not to be bothered about a Friday release, right? Because at the end of the day, there are 52 Fridays in a, there are 52 Fridays in a year, right, Siddharth? And at the end of, and as an indie filmmaker or a content-driven filmmaker, you are always going to be sharing that Friday with a big, big star release, right? So when streaming platforms decided to pick up and decided to commission with the indie and the edgy filmmakers, it looked as if that, wow, okay, this is what we were waiting for. But I think today that even if you have a film like what we've just made, Mrs. Chatterjee versus Norway, which is extreme, I mean, 60% of the film is not in Hindi, right? It's either in Bengali, because she's a Bengali immigrant mother, it's in Norwegian, it's in English. Right. But for the studios, these studios is presenting the film with us. And when they saw the film, they said, we need to go to the theaters with this film. Right. Because there's a connection of a mother, the story of a mother fighting for justice. So it depends, I think, really, at the end of the day, depends on what is going to connect with the audiences. Right. Visual spectacle, audio spectacle, theater going experience is something that you're buying into. You're buying into the spectacle. You're not really buying into anything else over there, right? But if the trailer of or the promotion of Mrs. Chatterjee versus Norway and the story of Mrs. Chatterjee versus Norway and the fact that we have Rani Mukherjee who's essaying the title role appeals to a select audience. We are not looking at, I mean, when you're talking to a Brahmastra released 2 weeks ago, right? It released with 6,000 screens, right? A film like Mrs. Chatterjee in Norway will be 1,000 screens, right? So it's literally, so you have to, I think, again, that's what I'm saying. When we're talking about budget, we are also not talking about budget to make the film. We're also talking about how to exploit, distribute and market the film, right? That is also something that needs to be corrected and course corrected in a big way.
So, a key part of the big budget is the star. You Absolutely. Mentioned that many of them have realized the changing dynamics and all that, but they also do still ask for a lot of money.
Yes.
Does that skew the mathematics of making a film?
Well, it would seem that it would skew the mathematics of making a film. But I think that when a star of the quality of the 10 big stars that actually are somewhere or the other servicing the Hindi film industry, when they ask the kind of monies that they are asking for, I think that they are aware of the mathematics and they are also aware of the return of investment. They also know very well. Like, for instance, I know for a fact, I'm not going to name anybody, but when this whole last 6 months has been somewhat of a downer with regards to the Hindi film industry box office, all the stars turned around and said that we have to, you know, think about our salaries. We have to think about how to collaborate with the producers. And those who did not, really, realistically speaking, those who did not will obviously realize that they don't have work, you know. So there has been a thinking, because they are also aware of the fact that we are suffering. As producers, we are suffering. Audiences aren't coming into the cinema halls.
We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to the Wire Talks. So coming to audience taste, which is a very intangible, amorphous kind of subject, you've been in the industry for 25 years. Let's not talk just the pre-pandemic stage, but going back a bit. You know that audience tastes keep changing. Is the audience today looking for more exciting stories told in new, exciting ways? They see films from North Korea, from South America, Iran, and they must compare what we make, won't they?
Yes. So again, the audience has become the so-called amorphous audience of Hindi cinema or cinema in general has again become very, very fractured. And there are sets and subsets, right? People who watch, who will wait to watch on a Netflix or an Amazon or a Hotstar, or there are people who will rush to watch where the first day, first show kind of audience, single screen audience versus multiplex audience. Within the multiplex audience also, there are subsets of, you know, because you still might want to go and watch the mainstream big thing in the comfort of a reclining chair, will spend 300 rupees on a tub of popcorn, you know, but at the end of the day, you'll do all that, but you still want to watch, say, a Bhool Bhulaiya 2, which is a classic example of a mainstream commercial Hindi film, right? So But then there are those people, like you said, who are coming to watch the Iranian films or the Korean films or the Palestinian films or the Malayalam films. The Malayalam films, like when I said earlier, the Tamil and Telugu films in film industry are somewhere or the other competing with the Hindi film industry and saying that we are no longer regional cinema. The Malayalam cinema is very interesting, very, very happy to call themselves as thinking man cinema, right? Because they do very clearly edgy and great storytelling from all the cinema that is in this country. So the audience taste also, like, I think, Siddharth, for us, the audience taste has always been, honestly, the film industry has always been this, had this herd mentality, right? Which is that, okay, this love story has done well, everybody starts making a love story. This espionage story has done well, everybody should start making an espionage story. When I made D-Day, I had to go through every single studio to ask them to make the film. Nobody backed me. But after D-Day came out, everybody wanted me to make D-Day part two, you know. So audience taste will, and so the easy way out, Siddharth, is that let me cast a star, right? Let me take a star so that I can minimize my risk. I know for a fact that at least the opening day, which is the Friday, will open at 5 crores, 10 crores, 15 crores, maybe in the case of Salman and Aamir and Shah Rukh and all, above 30, you know. So really, audience taste is, like you said, is something that one has to keep your ear to the ground, keep understanding what they are wanting. Today, the new word everywhere I go is the TG is 18 to 25. YA, young adults. Everything is about young adults. Bulbulaya do work because of young adults. Juk Juk Jio work because of young adults. Right? Brahmastra is working because my 16-year-old daughter, right, who goes to an American kind of school, loves the fact that, I mean, the language is so simple that she can totally get it, right? So, and she's grown up on DC, Superman and Marvel, and she loves it. So I think that the audience taste, right, and what audience taste is important for us to talk about. What is, which audience are we talking about, and which audience's taste are we talking about, and which audience are we making the film for? I think Ayan Mukherjee, like I said to you earlier, is very, very clever. He knows the audience that he was making this film for, and he has completely told the story to that audience. I don't know. After 25 years, I'm still trying to figure out what the audience taste is.
Yeah, I think it's always in transition, and it switches before you know it, and very, very
quickly. Changes. Friday to Friday changes. Suddenly, you know, they don't want this. They want only this, you know, that kind of stuff. But I think that when one does watch a film and you see I would have thought everybody would have loved 83, you know. But Omicron was there, 83. But for some reason, the YA, the young adult, right, felt that, listen, I don't need to see 83. I love Virat and I love Dhoni, and you know, I don't want to know the great this thing. I watched a documentary. My father loves 83. My father went and watched it, and he loved it. And so nostalgia, you know, I don't know whether nostalgia really is something that. And I tell this to all the directors who are working with me in my company, that, listen, nostalgia is really is the death of a filmmaker. Let's just not get into nostalgia at all.
Yeah, but at the same time, there are a lot of movies being made which are remakes of 70s films, because a lot of directors have nostalgia.
Yes, and when you say remake, it's almost like a reinvention. Rohit Shetty, who's possibly the biggest director in this country today, is remaking Golmaal, right? But he's reinventing it. He's called it Circus, and he's going to make it, I don't know how. No, so it's interesting. So it's almost like a reimagining, reinvention, redux of a classic story. I mean, something like Golmaal the audience, the YA audience, you know, 15 to 25 should know about the story of Golmaal. They are not seeing the original in any case.
Nikhil, speaking of trends and fashions, you said when you made D-Day, everyone was rushing to make similar films, and they asked you to make D-Day 2. Now the spectacular, combining mythology, history, and great production values. There is a trend, or perhaps there was a trend, we don't know, because that also could suddenly disappear, of so-called nationalist cinema. Was that a mere chasing the audience's hearts, minds, and wallets, or was it done for commercial reasons, or was it done to kind of pander to the national mood? or in fact pander to the prevailing political mood.
But Siddharth, everything, I mean, depending on the kind of cinema that you are producing, and if we are talking about a particular kind of cinema that most people in the Hindi film industry are producing, it is for commercial reasons, right? So if there is a national mood, and if there is, if I can tell the story of Mangalyaan, when the Chandrayaan rocket is going to be launched, why will I not want to take advantage of that, right? If I want to tell the story of, for instance, if 26th January and 15th August end up being the two biggest national holidays where people are thronging to the cinemas, right, as long as they get a dose of nationalism, and depending on where you stand or where a filmmaker stands, nationalism versus jingoism, patriotism versus jingoism, etc., right, the producers and the storytellers are going to follow that trend, right? Like you said, it's a trend, right? Is it the prevalent political mood? Of course, I think that there would be a certain degree of conversation being had in writing rooms and in producers' offices, saying that, listen, audiences love nationalistic cinema, and so why don't we make, I mean, post Balakot and Pulwama, we had Uri, you know, which came and just basically, you know, came and blew the box office away, right? So audiences will, I mean, producers will always want to cash in on that environment and that mood, whatever gets the audiences into the theaters.
At the same time, I mean, this is done in a way that not only provokes a certain kind of thinking in your mind. I'm thinking of a lot of historical dramas which somewhat distort history, you know, change the manner in which history is being taught or stories are told, and say this didn't happen, what really happened was this, and inject a healthy dose of, say, you know, Hindu Radha or Hindutva or whatever. It could be something else. I mean, Uri perhaps took a slightly different tack, but if you look at certain other films, I have no hesitation in naming them, like Prithviraj or Tanaji, there's always a little bit of additional element which really distorts the whole story as it has been told all these years.
Yes, I mean, I believe so. I haven't seen Prithviraj nor have I seen Tanaji. So, I mean, I'm only going by what I have also heard other people saying. But I think that is the choice of the people who are involved in the film, right? I mean, Tanaji was made by Om Rawat, Prithviraj was made by Dr. Chandraprakash Dwivedi. And I'm happy to have a healthy conversation with them with regards to what I read about Prithviraj and Tanaji in my Amar Chitra Katha books, right? But at the end of the day, since I am not the one who is backing the so-called project, I mean, I can't tell them, you know, I mean, I can only discuss with them. It's after the end of the day, what they are making and how they are making, and I think that job needs to be left also to the point of view of, say, the board, right? There is a censor board that possibly has to say, you know, hello, this is not how it is done, or this is what is done, or this is an interpretation, you know. And there's a disclaimer. There's usually a disclaimer at the beginning of a film, which basically says that this is not a real depiction of history, and this is our interpretation of it, etc. Right? Most people are not there during when the disclaimer is playing out in the theaters. But yeah, I mean, I'm quite sure. I know what you're saying. So, but I haven't seen either Tanaji or Prithviraj.
Oh, that's disclaimer is a nice way of kind of absolving yourself and say, by the way, this is not how history is, but let us give you a new spin on it. Yes, it is definitely a nice spin, nice way out, nice caveat. At the same time, do you think filmmakers avoid contentious issues because it may upset, let's say, a community or upset a... you know, some political parties or upset all kinds of things? Because nowadays, everybody from the troll on Twitter to the political leaders, they are all, you know, have something to say before the film is even released.
Yeah, so I mean, would a storyteller who is going to try and provoke be told that, listen, why are you getting into a contentious situation? Because at the end of the day, like I mean, there are so many lives at stake and there are 2,000 people that are working on a film. You know, you can avoid saying this, you can avoid doing this, you don't need to do this, you need to say it like this. Of course, these are conversations that are being had in the industry today. Right. But the way I look at it, Siddharth, is I'm 52 years old. I have made Patla House. I have made The Empire and I have made Mumbai Diaries, which people who saw Mumbai Diaries turned around and said they were very triggered by how real it was, you know, and that you showed a night of the attacks in such a realistic manner that we couldn't finish watching the show, etc., etc. But I think that was very important for me to show that. I wanted people to be uncomfortable. I wanted people to feel a sense of claustrophobia when you saw what the first line responders were going through on that night. So it's a very personal whether I mean, I don't know. I don't think that most people, most filmmakers that I know of and that I work with or I interact with are out to maybe do anything contentious. They are out to tell a story. And if that story somewhat or the other makes people uncomfortable, I think that they are intelligent enough to understand that it's important for me to tell this. It's important for me to make them feel and make them realize what I know to be true or what I think is to be told. Yeah, so I think people stay away from the contentious subjects, but if required, the sensible filmmakers are always willing to take that leap.
You know, but still, what I meant by contentious issues is also not just taken from the headlines in a manner of speaking, but things like caste issues or, say, mounting religious hatred, bigotry, etc. Would a filmmaker or a production house say, guys, let's stay away and not make a film?
100%.
But a lot of indie filmmakers manage to get away with it.
Yes, I think so. So exactly. So it all comes down to what kind of cinema you're making and what kind of I hate the word project you are mounting. Right. In the end of the day, it comes down to how many people you want to reach out to with that particular story, right? So and I think the indie filmmakers are doing a great job, you know, by informing, inspiring, motivating, telling us what is true and what is not true, or what could be true or what could not be true, or what is being swept under the carpet, what is being manufactured. I think the indie film guys are doing a great thing. I think the Hindi film industry mainly is motivation is to entertain, right? At the end, it's called an industry, Siddharth. So the whole point is that how can we be commercially, you know, viable? How can we make but without compromising your own, you know, so-called ideals and ideologues and whatever.
You know, you're a industry which really is, what you were mentioning, 13,000-14,000 crores, but your reach and your influence and your voice, it is a soft power.
Yes.
And your voice is so strong. Yes. That it carries weight. So where you lack in financial heft, so to speak, you make up in terms of what influence you exert on the minds of people.
Social influence, yeah.
Yes, and it's cultural capital, you know. I mean, it's exportable capital. But is that one of the reasons why you think politicians attack it, trolls attack it? They're always saying things like boycott Bollywood. You know, you've been coming in for a fair amount of fire.
Yeah, but Siddharth, you say boycott Bollywood, but Brahmastra becomes a 300 crore film, right? In the sense that, so I don't know how much of this whole boycott Bollywood really is affecting, right? I mean, I don't think that we should be ostriches in the sand and say that it is not affecting. It of course is affecting, but at the end of the day, I think that like I said, it is content. If your content connects this country and the people of this country and the fans of Hindi cinema are so dedicated to us, you know, to like you said, to our social capital and our voice is so strong that as long as it connects and as long as they feel that, you know, they are going to have a good time on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday, they are going to give a damn about any kind of, you know, movement, boycott, any kind of thing, and they're going to watch, and when the lights go out and for 2.5 hours the star of your choice is doing exactly what you want him to do, and you're being transported to the lakes of Switzerland with Yash Chopra, or you're being transported to the Varanasi of Sanjay Leela Bhansali, you forget everything else.
At the same time, a politician attacking does somewhat change the dynamic, don't you think?
Yes, of course, 100%. And I think that it's important for us as an industry to stay away from as much politics as possible and continue doing what we have to do, which is basically entertain the people, keep telling stories that we want to tell, you know. I think it's a give and take, right? In the sense that if you want something, then you're going to have to give up something.
You know that one of the criticisms that is often made is that people in the industry don't speak up.
Why do you want them to speak up? Siddharth, my question is this. Why would you want them to speak up? They don't know enough about politics. They don't know enough about the subject that you're asking them to speak up about. And when they do speak up, the complaint is that they should not have spoken up. They did not know anything, right?
My point is they also don't speak up about, in a, you know, kind of concerted voice. I won't say united, because united voices are always, you know, how do you unite so many disparate views? But they don't speak up in a concerted voice or emphatically about things that matter to the industry.
Yeah. I totally agree with you that there is, there, like you said, I mean, whether you're saying a concerted voice, I mean, or a united voice, I think as young filmmakers, now I'm no longer young, I'm 51, but we've only been asking about let's unite on certain aspects that's concerning the film industry. Forget about the politics that we should be speaking up or speaking out against. We are not speaking out. We did not speak out against together about piracy, about the relationship between distribution and marketing versus production, P&A. You know, these kind of things, we are not able to talk to and come together as producers to talk to actors about entourage and the ancillary costs, which has nothing to do with our filming, with the films that we are making and with the projects that we are making. So we have to, first of all, as an industry, or as a group of producers, we need to actually come together on certain things. We have come together. We have come together on number of hours of working. We have come together on how children have to be treated on the set. These are areas that we have. And Siddharth Roy Kapoor, as the president of ex-president now, of the Film Producers Guild, did put together certain things. During the pandemic, the first industry really actually that worked along with the government of Maharashtra at that time, Uddhav Thackeray and Aditya Thackeray, along with Supriya Sule and Iqbal Chahal, was a group of producers. We created an SOP, you know, that every single industry post that was going to have to use, because we wanted to come out, because we realized we were suffering. Right, the daily wage worker in the industry, right, depends on the daily wage. Right, you and I can live through 4 months and 5 months and 7 months of the pandemic. The daily wage worker could not. We encouraged vaccination. Right, so yes, when it's required, we do come together. But I don't think we come together enough. We need to come together more.
So, keeping in mind our discussion so far, what would you say is the current mood in the industry? Among your friends, among your colleagues, about others that you've been hearing, what is the mood?
Well, I would say that till two weeks ago, there was a huge amount of ambivalence, fear, ambivalence to fear, right? I mean, there was insecurity to fear. Where is it really going? Have the audience tastes really changed? So when big films, like you said in the beginning, in your introduction, big films with big stars are flopping, where normally audiences would be going, thronging to the cinemas, why are they not going, right? So 2 weeks ago, there was ambivalence, there was insecurity, there was fear. I think now there is a Brahmastra proposed the fact that there's light at the end of a very dark tunnel that we have all come through. Right. And we and full marks to Karan Johar, full marks to the Fox Star Studios, full marks to Ayan Mukherjee, Ranbir Alia for having stuck it through. Right. I mean, two weeks ago, they were being laughed at as a group of people that are supporting something that is bound to fail. Today, they have the last laugh. You know, and really, at the end of the day, I think that a collective prayer went out from the industry, you know, on the day that Brahmastra was about to release, saying that, listen, this is it. This needs to work. And it has.
On that note, Nikhil, thanks for explaining the whole way in which the industry works and in the way that industry thinking is at this moment earlier. And it's good to see because Hindi cinema in general, but Hindi cinema is a vital part of our cultural life. And I have a personal quarrel with some of the stories that are made, but that I'm not that, the audience all the time.
Yeah, that we'll talk about over a drink at the yacht club.
And we'll certainly watch out for some more interesting and entertaining films. Thank you again, Nikhil.
Thank you so much, Siddharth. Thanks.
That's Nikhil Udvani, who just spoke about the film industry, of which he has been part for 25 plus years, and who is one of the more willing, I would say, and articulate members of the industry. We'll be back again next week for another episode of The Wire Talks. Till then, goodbye from me, Siddharth Bhatia, and the rest of the Wire Talks team.
You can check out this podcast and other interesting ones on the Wire website, the IVM podcast website, app, or wherever else that you get your podcasts. Goodbye from me, Siddharth Bhatia, and the Wire Talks podcast team.